الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا وسيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book منهج الثالث من شيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر الصعدي رحمه الله تعالى فقهم كتاب العلاج والاستدراء الشيخ سيد قد إن كانت تحيل وارتفع حيها في رضاء ونحل انتظرت حتى يعود الحول فتعتذر she menstruates. For Tata Haidha, and the menstruation has ceased. They are about because she is nothing, or nothing, or for a reason similar to that. Maybe she is sick, for instance. And because of the sickness, the menstruation ceases. أنا شيء من عدة انتظرت حتى يعود الحيج she wait till the حيج comes back فتعتذر if that she would do the waiting period how this is clear what has been established is that a lady that is divorced for instance if she is menstruating, it is still menstruation that it is counted. And if she is not menstruating, 3 months will be counted. If she is pregnant, until she delivers the baby, this is menstruation. Now, a lady is divorced, and she is not pregnant. And she used to menstruate, but the menstruation has ceased. What is she going to use to count her Iddah? So the Sheikh says, in a situation like this, a Tawarat, she would have her Iddah held until the Iddah comes back. Ordinarily, most ladies menstruate every month. So if a lady is among those who menstruate and the menstruation ceases, she'll be waiting for the menstruation to come back. And that's what I said last week. That our lady that do not menstruate except once in 4 months. 3 months they will be pure. 1 month they will menstruate. So such a lady, if she is going to count 3 menstruations, that's going to be how many months? Huh? No. 7 months. That's going to be 7 months. That means our Iddah will be coming to an end after 7 months. Unlike many ladies who said Iddah will come to an end after 3 months. So this is what the Shaykh is referring to. That a lady whose eye is in afterwards. Because what Allah says is وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتْ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. So you will have to wait for this. The radha, there may be a reason for that. Maybe she's not, she's breastfeeding. You know some women, when they are breastfeeding, they don't menstruate. Just as pregnant women do not menstruate. So some ladies, when they are breastfeeding, they don't menstruate. The Sheikh says, وَإِنْ يَرْتَفَعَ إِذْ إِبْتِدِي وَلَا تَدْرِ مَا رَفَعَهُ. And she does not know what has been seen. إِنْ تَدْرَ تِفَعَكَ أَشْهُرِي إِخْيَاطًا لِلْحَمْلِي. She would wait for 9 months إِخْيَاطًا لِلْحَمْلِي. We have a third time. Finish the pregnant. And know that a pregnant woman وأولاة الأعمال أجلهن أن يضعن حملهن. So she may just exercise some patience, maybe she's been pregnant. She can assess as somebody who has who has been pregnant. So she exercise some patience. Why? Because she does not know the reason why she had a seed. But if she knows the reason, maybe because she's a she's breastfeeding, that reason is clear, because she speaks, the reason is what she clear. So in that case, she waits until what? The blood comes back. How is it clear? ثم احتجت بثلاثة أشهر. Then after that, she will do it for 3 months. What the Sheikh says is this way. She doesn't know the reason why the blood has peaked. So she behaves as if what? As if she's pregnant. Now 9 months has gone. No child has come out. What is? So the Sheikh says, she doesn't know the reason why the blood has peaked. Let her consider herself to be somebody who does not menstruate anymore. And we know the one does not menstruate anymore because the person Al-A-Yisa. That is a woman that has disappeared from menstruation. A woman that has disappeared from menstruation that is divorced. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahi, that is not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهِ يَئِسْنَا مِنِ الْمَحِيضِ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَرْتَبْتُمْ عِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ أَشْهُرٍ. Those who have been pierced from among your wives from menstruation, فَعِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْهُرٍ وَاللَّهِ لَمْ يَئِسْنَا. And those who have not menstruated, for those who do not menstruate, how this flex. So 3 months come in here. The woman has waited for 9 months for possibility of it being what? Hamli, pregnancy. But if she has not delivered, then she changes from that of the Idda of the Hamli to that of the Idda of the Aisha. To the idea of the Aisha, the woman that has what? The fear. You get it now? وَإِذَا صَابَتْ بَعْدَ الْكِدَاءِ الْعِزَّةِ لِذُرُورِ أَمَرَاتِ الْحَمْلِ لَنْ تَتَزَوَّرْ حَتَّى تَزُولَ الْرِيبَ. If she's in doubt, after the idea has elapsed, لِذُرُورِ أَمَرَاتِ الْحَمْلِ, because of the appearance of the signs of pregnancy, she does not remarry after Azul al-Riba until that doubt is lifted. One Rasul Nafkur can say this, يحكم بموته بحسب اجتهاد الحاكم ثم تعتاد اليه. المقول if somebody is missing, somebody who is missing, the one who is missing, what happens to his wife? How is his wife going to do Ijjah if it is confirmed, or if it is the ponderance that is left? The Sheikh says, Umrat al-Maqul, the wife of the missing one, can tell him, will work حَتَّى يُكَمَ بِمُوتِ until the judgment that he takes is given بِحَسَبِ اجْتِهَادِ الْحَاكِمِ, based on the اجْتِهَاد of the judge. ثُمَّ تَعْتَذِكَ, in after that she will do Ijjah. How did it play? Not in the past. Scholars, they will say the missing person will look from two angles. If the person is missing, they look at the type of journey that he has embarked on. Where has he traveled to? If the place he has traveled to is a place that is full of risk, danger, and people are always meet their death in areas like that, so such a person will be confirmed dead maybe after 4 years. That is, will be declared dead after 4 years, because the trip that he has embarked on is a dangerous and adventurous trip. But if the trip is not like that, just an ordinary trip, such a person will not be said to be to a parish until after a lot of years have gone on his age. When I say a lot of years, take for instance the jumhur of the scholars, they make that to be 90, age 90. Somebody who is 50 years old and he gets missing, he will not be said to have died until after many years, 40 years. So they wait, they won't declare him dead until after 40 years has gone on his current age. Because they believe that most people will not live more than 90 years. Most people will not live more than 90 years. And this person has embarked on a journey, or he has come to a place that is not that dangerous or hazardous or risky. So let's give him the age that some people are likely to live up to. So meaning, with that, his people will have to wait for him, his property will not be shared by his heirs and the like. They will be expecting 40 years before he will be declared rich. But if it is a dangerous tree, so they say 4 years. When they get that 4 years, they got the 4 years from an incident that happened to a man who was going for Salat al-Subh also, as contained in Sunan ibn Hakim and some other books. The man was going for Salat al-Subh, so he got missing. The wife went to Umar radiallahu anhu to complain, and the judgment of Umar was that the wife should go and wait for 4 years. The wife waited for 4 years. After 4 years had elapsed, the wife came to Umar of the land. The Umar asked her to go and do Ijjah al-Wafa. Umar asked her to go and do Ijjah al-Wafa. after the end of the wafat, which is 4 months, 10 days, the woman came back to tell Umar that she had finished the idda. And Umar gave her the permission to remarry if she wanted to remarry. So she remarried. While she was in the new marriage, the husband who had been declared dead came back. Now the case, did the woman kill his wife or not? Did the woman kill his wife or the wife of the new husband? The Sharia is that the woman is still his wife because he has not divorced her. So for this reason, the man was given the option either to continue with the marriage or to allow the new husband to continue with the marriage. So in a situation like this, if the first husband decided to continue with the marriage, that means the new husband will have to do, the woman will have to do what? Idda. This idda is what? It's for istibra, to make her womb free. So that before the first husband continue with his journey, to let him be sure that the womb is free. Let him be sure that the womb is free. So the woman will do what? Idda. How did it work? So that it will be sure that the womb is free. Now if the new husband had not left with the woman, so there is no need for what? For Idda. The woman just go back to her former husband. If the new husband had not had any sexual intercourse with her. But if the new husband had had sexual intercourse with her, so they have to ascertain that the womb is free. So this is what we call al-istibara. So the shahid here is that Umar radiallahu anhu gave the judgment that the woman should wait for 4 years. And after the 4 years, Umar radiallahu anhu asked the woman to do iddatu al-wafat. Now the question now is that what Umar gave as judgment, is it applicable in all times? Some scholars said yes. For 4 years, if the journey that the person has embarked on is something that is risky, something that is adventurous, so 4 years is enough for the wife to wait. But if it is not, they say 19 years, minus the age the man has lived on earth for 90 years. So what is left is what? The woman will have to wait without remarrying. And that is what is very harsh. From that way, some scholars said, there is no text for this. What Umar radiallahu anhu did was an ishtihad of Umar. And the ishtihad of a hakim at every time may differ. You may see a hakim that may tell the woman to go and wait for a year. And after a year, if no information about the man in custom, they may ask the woman to do iddat al-wafat. And don't forget, iddat al-wafat is very general. Does not really matter whether the person is young or old. Only if the woman is 120 years old and she loses her husband, she will do iddat al-wafat, as I've said. So the qadi may decide that after a year, the woman can do iddat al-wafat and remarry. So this matter lies in the hand of the qadi more. Just for example, there are some women that cannot bear it. They cannot bear not to have their husband access to them in 2 months, they can't get it. There are some women like that. Some in 4 months, some in 6 months in a year. So you can't tell such a woman that compulsively she has to wait till the husband comes back. And that is the beauty of the Sharia. Such a woman can take the matter to the court. I can't wait. I want to seek for what? For fast. That the nikah be terminated, be dissolved. So if the court is intervening the matter and pass the judgment goes. The judgment goes. So, what the Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala is saying is that وَمْرَبْ مَقُوبْ تَنْتَبِعُ حَقَّى يُؤْكَمَ بِمُوْتِ. The wife of the missing man should wait until the death of the husband is declared is ruled by the authority. The after ishtihad al haqi, according to the ishtihad of the ruler or the judge. Summa ta'tad, then after that you do idda. That is idda to your part. How do you reflect? وَلَا تَجِبُ النَّفَقَةُ إِلَّا أَفْوَى فَنْجِمْ on the devotee or spending on the Mu'tajja, a woman that is doing Ezra. He said this is only composing the Mu'tajjati al-Raja'iyya. For a woman that is doing Ezra, that is what? That is Raja'iyya. We thought it was a man divorces his wife, and the man takes her back before she finishes the Ezra. Before she finishes the idda. If the woman is pregnant, before she delivers the baby, the man will consider her. If the woman is not pregnant, but she still menstruates, before she sees a third menstruation, the man will consider her. If a woman does not menstruate, if a woman does not menstruate, we know the idda is 3 months, as we have said. Before the 3rd month, the man will consider her. And if a woman has stopped menstruating, she has been menstruating before, but she has stopped menstruating, she has reached menopause. Her idda is also 3 months. Before the 3 months, the husband will consider her. Such a Mu'tajja, if the man reconsiders her before the idda finishes, it is compulsory on the man to be spending on her during that idda. Because woman is still his wife. Woman is still his wife. How this is like. So, this is what the also, rahimahullah ta'ala establishes here. وَلَا تَجِبُ النَّفَقَ إِلَّا لِلْمُعْتَدَّ الرَّجَعِيَّةِ لِلْمُعْتَدَّةِ الرَّجَعِيَّةِ. And this is only compulsory on the مُعْتَدَّ, a woman that is in Iddah, الرَّجَعِيَّةِ, whose divorce is revocable. أو لمن فارقها زوجها في الحياة وهي حامل. أو لمن فارقها زوجها في الحياة وهي حامل. Or somebody will be husband after 4 years while she's pregnant. The first one, she's not pregnant, but she has not finished the idda. Maybe she is still the wife of the man. But in this case now, the man the voices are what she's pregnant. But she is pregnant. The man will have to spend on her during the 8 years. Why? Because of the pregnancy. Because the pregnancy belongs to the man. And you have to take care of his pregnancy. How is it said? So it is compulsory on the man to spend on a divorcee that is pregnant. أو لمن فارق زوجها في الحياة وهي حامل لقوله تعالى وإن كن أولات حمل فأنفقوا عليهن حتى يضعن حملهن. And if they are pregnant and you divorce them, then you have to spend on them until they deliver the baby. Until they deliver the baby. So because of the pregnancy that the husband will have to spend on her. The first one that is on the area is because the man is the woman is still his wife. Because the woman is still his wife. If a woman is pregnant and the man divorces her and she has not delivered, and that is the first divorce. You know, the woman is still on the area because that is the first divorce or the second divorce. But because for the fact that she's pregnant, it means that she has not reached the age gap. But now we are talking about a pregnant woman that has been divorced irrevocably. The third divorce. But this third divorce comes when the woman is pregnant. Ordinarily, a woman that has been irrevocably divorced, there is no nafaqah for her. And there is no sickness, no accommodation. No nafaqa, no accommodation. If a woman has been irrevocably divorced, no spending on her and no accommodation. Why no spending on her? No spending because she's no longer a wife to the man. No accommodation because she is a stranger. She is now what? A stranger. So no accommodation. Unless if the man decides to what? To be generous to her by letting her leave in his house. But there must not be a kind of mixing between both of them. Because the woman is what? Is a stranger, so to say. She's an Ajnabiyya. And that's why it's very, very important that we think about this. Let us suppose that embark on divorcing our wives. Divorce your wife if you want to divorce her in such a way that you will not incur the wrath of Allah. Or you try to settle your disputes amongst you amicably. If you know that you cannot follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as the world is concerned, then don't try it. As I mentioned it when we were preaching the topic of divorce, brothers, not lay people. When I say brothers, I mean Sunni brothers who have divorced their wives more than 10 times. And they are still abhorring them in the house. And Allah says, Allah tahillu lahu min ba'di, hatta tankiha zawjan ghayra. So what they are doing is zina. So if you ask such a brother, why is he keeping this lady in your house? And they say, there is what? There is sleep from the relatives, from friends. Who are the relatives? Relatives who do not have the knowledge of the deen, who do not say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not mind you rubbishing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do their own desires. You don't listen to them. If you know you are going to listen to them, then don't try to divorce your wife. Don't try to divorce your wife. And that's why the dispute, the conflict, misunderstanding between you and your wife, you try to settle this amicably. A woman that does not want to be divorced by her husband should know our duty and our right. As I've said several times, when a woman knows her duty and she knows her right, she's likely to have what? Little or no problem with your right. The same thing, a man that knows his duty and his right, she's likely to have what? Little problem or no problem with the wife. But the reason why most people were having marital issues, marital problems, is because we don't discharge our duty and we do not know the limit of our rights. What is not your right to take away your rights and you start making trouble with your husband? What is not your right to claim to be your right? You start making trouble with your wife. So this one is something that you ought to know. You ought to know. Then we should also be somebody that will exercise a kind of compromise. This is not compulsory, but Islam encourages it. You are not getting your right from your wife. You are not getting your right from your husband the way you should get them. Are you made trouble because of that? Are you denying her some of her rights because she's not giving you part of your rights? Can you deny her some of her rights? Yes, you can. The man is not giving you your rights. Can you, as a wife, deny him some of his rights? Yes, you can. But no, this can have what? A repercussion. And that repercussion is that it may lead to separation between both of you. Islam encourages you, Islam does not make it binding on you, that you can exercise a kind of what? Compromise. As you have it in the Quran. So with this, a lot of marital conflict will be avoided. You are not getting your rights, but the way you should get them. But you are trying to make a kind of compromise. So, but a lot of people today, we all seem to do for lack. But when the consequence comes, which is, if it has become irrevocable, so when this consequence comes, you start looking for a needle that you can hide under its own, which is what? Which is not possible. So we end up violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to please our desires, in order to please the wants and wings of people. So we shouldn't be. So what I'm trying to say is that if a woman is irrevocably divorced, she doesn't have any standing to get from the man. No accommodation. No accommodation. But if the man decides to out her, that means there will be mixing. Still mixing between both of them because they are not lawful to each other. So either the man is vacating the house for her, or if the house has another gate that leads outside, so she will be passing here, the man will be passing another gate. So that they won't meet, because they are not lawful to each other. But in a situation, a woman that is irrevocably divorced, you have to spend on her, and you have to watch out her. When? If that woman is pregnant when the third divorce comes. If she's pregnant when the third divorce comes. Even if it is a talaq that is bad in the Muslim world. Once there is pregnancy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa in kunna ulati hamlin. If they are pregnant, so antiku alayhim, spend on them hatta yada'na hamlahun, until they deliver for pregnancy, how it gets. So because of the charge that the woman is enjoying this treatment, otherwise she will leave the house. She will not go in there in that house and no sense. And this is based on what Fatima began to call it for Rabbi Allah and her said, when her husband divorced her irrevocably. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let her know that there is no nafaqa and no sukna for her. No accommodation any longer and no spending. The husband was away when the divorce came. That is, the husband wrote to her, sent somebody with a letter to go and give her that the third salat had been pronounced. And she took the matter to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Messenger of Allah said, there is nothing you can do about that. No nafaqa and no housing. No nafaqa and no housing. So, this is what the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala is talking about. وأما الاستبراء فهو تربط الأمة التي كان سيدها كان سيد آية فؤورا. الاستبراء, your topic is what? العبد and الاستبراء. We have mentioned about الاستبراء, that is طلب البراءة. To seek that the world is free. The Shaykh says فهو تربط الأمة is for an amah, a slave girl, to exercise patience. And let the kind of sayyid who I thought you are, a slave girl that the sayyid sleeps with. If somebody has a slave, a man has a slave, he can sleep with the slave. And that's why in Islam, a man cannot marry more than 4 wives. A man cannot marry more than 4 wives. Some of the people had 8 or 10 wives before Islam, before they embrace Islam. When they embrace Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to one of them, اختر من كل الأربع وصار صائر ومن. Choose 4 out of all wives. Any 4, choose. وصار صائر ومن. They leave the remaining. They leave the remaining. Thank the Lord. But the man that has slave girls, that has slave girls, can upset with as many as possible. If he has 100 slave girls, he can have the sex with all of them. Huh? But he cannot marry more than 4 wives. Some say slave girls, we mean slave girls, not housemates. Housemates and employees. It's not a property. She's not a property. She's an employee. A man cannot have sex with her. Having sex with a housemaid is dinner. But a slave girl, she's a property. A slave girl is a property. So one can have sex with her anytime. Now, if a master has sex with a slave girl, and maybe the master decides to sell her, another master that for sure is her will not have sex with her immediately. Are you with me? There will be something of what is kibra, to know that the womb is free. أما الاستبراء فهو تربص الأمة التي كان سيدها يطوى فلا يطوى بعد زوج أو سيد. If somebody else buys it or demands the slave girl to another person, that person will not have sex with her until he's done what is istibra. Or maybe the master wants to keep her, but he wants her to get married to another person. You know, he has been having sexual intercourse with her, but now he wants to marry her to another person. You know, that is permissible. It's permissible.
men are the same gender. Rather than he having sexual intercourse with the same gender, he may allow another person to have sexual intercourse with her. But that would be what? Through marriage. Are you with me? That would be through marriage. Or through sex. Maybe you have sold her to another man. Meaning, the lady or the girl, the slave girl, is no more easy. But if the slave girl remains in, and he wants another person to have sex with her, that means that person is buying her from him, or that person is marrying her from him. So if the man is marrying her, we say that man is marrying a slave girl. If that person is a slave, no harm. The person that is marrying her, a slave man, has come to marry a slave girl. There is no harm. But if the person that is coming to marry a slave girl is a free boy, a free man coming to marry a slave girl, Islam discourages this. Islam discourages this. Why? Because the child will be ascribed to the slave girl. And the slave girl is ascribed to a master. It shows that that child goes to the master of the slave girl. So you as a freeborn, why marry a slave? So, but never not to commit zina. Islam says, okay, you are a free person, but you don't have money, the financial wherewithal to marry a free girl, so you can marry a slave girl. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ صَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُؤْسَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ Whoever does not have the power, the financial wherewithal to marry Muhsanat, free women, مُؤْمِنَاتِ بِمِنِمْ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ There is a marriage for believing slave girls. At the end, Allah says, ذَلَكَ مَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَنَةَ مِنْكُمْ This is for those who fear al-anata, those who know to commit zina. This tells us the gravity of zina. The gravity of zina. I am committing zina, then marry a slave girl. Though if you marry a slave girl, and you should bear you a child, that child will be ascribed to a master. So it is better than you committing zina. Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah ta'ala says, what if the free man stipulates to the master of the slave girl that he should bear me a child, that child will not be a slave. The child will be free the way I am free. Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, if this stipulation is accepted by the master of the slave girl, then it goes. But some scholars, a lot of scholars said, no, it doesn't go. So, the topic here is that the slave girl will not be, I will have to do what? Istibra. Will have to do what? Istibra. Because the master has been having sexual intercourse with her, so she will have to do istibra if the master decides to marry her or to another person. Or if the master decides to send her to another man. So that man cannot just have sexual intercourse with her, except after istibra. Unless if it is clear that the master has not slept with her, then in that case there will be no need for istibra. The shaykh continues. فَلَا يَطَوْءَ بَعْدَهُ زَوْجٍ أَوْ سَيِّجٍ A husband should not have sex with a slave girl that has been married to her, to him, أَوْ سَيِّجٍ or a master that has purchased a new master. حَتَّى تَحِيبَ حَيْرَةً وَاحِدًا Or this she may say once. This is istibra. وإن لم تكن من ذوات الحيض تستبري أو تستبرى لشهر. If she doesn't menstruate, that means she'll have to wait for a month. Like if she's the Aisha or she's the lady that has not menstruated. What will happen to her in kind of Hamila? Or for her to deliver the pregnancy if she's pregnant. For her to deliver the pregnancy if she's pregnant. So and that's why Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, when he went for a kind of a battle, and there was this, part of this lady girl that was shared to him, there was a pregnant one among them. Meaning she had become what, the owner or a slave. And this little girl or this little woman is pregnant. So we know we cannot have sexual intercourse with her. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what, لَا تُوْتَوْا حَامِلٌ حَتَّى فَضَعَ. The pregnant woman should not be tested until she delivers the baby. This some people misunderstand to mean that if their wife is pregnant, they cannot have sex with her. No. The hadith is not addressing you and your wife. The hadith is addressing a slave girl that is pregnant before she is enslaved. Now she has become, she has been under another master. Huh? So that master cannot have sex with her until she delivers the baby. And the master plays with her, keeps her out and keeps her life. Some scholars said, no, he should not do anything. But when by the author of Abdullah bin Umar, it shows something else can be done. Particularly when he can control himself. So he can kiss her, he can hold her and relax. If he can control himself. If he cannot control himself, he should distance himself from her completely. Until the womb is free. Until the womb is free. So the hadith, لا تنسوا عامل حتى تضع ولا عامل حتى تحيض حيضا. عامل حيض is a woman that doesn't menstruate. A woman that doesn't menstruate should not reflect until what? Until, for a woman that is not pregnant should not reflect it until she menstruates. So this is addressing what slave girl. Now if somebody impregnates a lady, it's a woman, a lady is impregnated by a man, outside where they come. Can they conduct nikah? Can they conduct nikah in that pregnancy? Now, question. A man has impregnated a lady outside where they come. Then they want to, maybe they've done tawbah and they want to do nikah. Can they go ahead with the nikah while the woman is pregnant? Huh? According to the majority of the scholars, no, they can do that. Because the womb is not free. The womb is not free. Abu Hanifa, it was the opinion that you can do the nikah. You can do the abdu. Since he is the one that has been impregnated, safran alina, in order to cover our abdu. But for the majority of the scholars, no. Until what? Until the womb is free. So when the womb is free, then you can do what? You can do abdu. Why do they say that? Because they believe that child is not free. That's why the fact that he is the one that has impregnated her. He is biological father of that pregnancy, but he is not the Shari'i father of that pregnancy. So they cannot conduct nikah. All this is left until the womb is free. So this is what most scholars are upon. Not to talk of if that pregnancy belongs to another man. Saying you want to do nikah on that will not be accepted according to most scholars. Yes, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, the water of a zani has no value. But what most scholars are upon is that no, this is incorrect. So, this is your istibra, to make sure that the womb is free before you sleeping with a lady that is not your wife is something that is important. A lot of scholars will say 3 months, 3 menstruations, but what is correct, wallahu alam, is that 1 menstruation is enough. Now, another question, if a woman is a woman commits zina, or a woman is rich, confirmed, rich, confirmed, commits zina, can the husband go ahead to ask a certain type of it or not? How the question is clear. If a housewife commits zina and is confirmed, the husband is aware of this, or she's rich, the husband is aware of this. This issue of istibra, are you going to apply it? Most scholars said yes, you have to apply it. The husband must not have sexual intercourse with her until the womb is free. That means it is clear that the woman is not pregnant. Some of the scholars of the opinion, and this is the favorite opinion statement with the name, that al-wala bil firash, the husband can quickly, let's assume the incident happens some hours ago, the husband can quickly have sexual intercourse with her in order to cast whatever doubt that will come from that human happens to be pregnant after some days. It will be preponderant in the mind of the man that I am the one that has impregnated her, particularly with respect to the one that is rich. But that has committed zina. It's not proper for a man to keep a zania. But if she repents, what if she repents? That is, after she has done that, if she repents, and the husband cover her off by quickly doing that. So this is the favorite opinion of Sheikh Ibn Muslimin rahimahullah ta'ala. But if she doesn't repent, or that has been a practice, then it will be haram for the man to keep aborting such a person as a wife. Because that will mean the man is a dayus. The man is a dayus. So he should not keep such a woman. How this is clear. But if the time frame has been long, then in that case, they all have the consensus that there must be istibra. If the time has been long, then the man must wait. Take for instance, it has been confirmed that the man is pregnant. For the man to not say, okay, let me ask her, since she's my wife. No. It will be haram on him to do that. Because it is confirmed that the woman is already pregnant. So al-wala bil firash is not used in a situation like this. You can use it in the first situation, but in a situation where it's confirmed that the woman is pregnant, and you know, or the man knows, that this pregnancy is not mine, it is the pregnancy of the zani, then it will be haram for the man to keep such a child hiding under the hadith al-wala bil firash. So inshallah we will stop here. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Now, the question that is عمر رضي الله عنه وسلم يقول ما
Now the case of Umar radiallahu anhu, the judgment, some scholars are taking the position that this is what should be done. So this issue of spoilers are done by Umar radiallahu anhu. But some scholars saw that a judgment, not a ruling that should be followed subsequently by the later judges. So Umar passed that judgment at that time, based on his own branch. Not that every person coming after him must apply that. And that's why the Sheikh said this is left what to the judgment or the ishtihad or the ruler. And wallahu a'lam, this is a wavier in argument. Now, the second question. How can the slave girl be acquired in Islam? The slave girl is acquired either through war or through purchase. When there is a war between the Muslims and the Kuffar, so those who are captured, they are taken as well as captives of the Kuffar. So among them there will be men, there will be women. So the women, they are the slave girls or the slave women. So those that have been caught as slaves, maybe by the Kuffar for instance, or by some Muslims, you may decide to buy from them. But presently, there is something like what captives of the war to be taken as slaves presently. So there is nothing like that. Not that the law in Islam has been abrogated, it's very serious, for people don't practice it. They have captives of war, but they use them to change the things or to punish the other country like that, but not the captives as they practice in the past. Yes, in Mauritania and the land, they do that. But not the way the Sharia has said it, by killing people, for instance, kidnapping people, and turning them into slaves. So this is worse. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that three people is going to be their cut on the Qiyamah. I mentioned among them, Rajulun, Da'a Hurran, Fa'akala Tamana. Somebody who sold into slavery. A free person and a divorce the price. So somebody that is a free born, one decides to just sell the person into slavery, so this is a big crime. One of the worst crimes. May Allah be with you. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.